This is Word on the Streets, a podcast about the Buttles and Indian Corridor Improvement Project. This podcast is created by the City of Midland, Michigan, and produced by the MCTV Network. Welcome to Season 1, Episode 5 of Word on the Streets, a podcast about information, updates, and perspective on the Buttles and Indian Corridor Improvement Project in Midland, Michigan. I'm your host, Katie Geyer, here again with my co-host, Grant Merschel. So, Grant, as we heard last month from MDOT, we are still a ways away from any tangible updates on the actual design of the Buttles Corridor, but we have something that's coming up pretty soon that actually kind of relates to mobility and a lot of what we talk about in this podcast. Do you want to talk about that event really quick?
Absolutely. Yes, I do think it's very related. And this is actually something for City Modern Master Planning. It's a new event that's coming up next week, Thursday, on June 17th. And it is going to be called Midland Moves. And it will be targeted towards thinking about mobility in a variety of different forms within the community. We'll have Dial-A-Ride Transportation representation there. We'll have the e-scooters, Bird e-scooters, that'll be available for people to be able to rent. We'll encourage people to bike and walk to be able to attend. And the whole event is going to be really focused around mobility in different forms.
Perfect. So this will be like an interactive way, not only for people to come in and talk to the planning department, but also to really kind of experience what the master planning process looks like, right?
It is, absolutely. Not only is it an opportunity for people to interact with different forms of mobility, we do want to get their feedback and influence the city master planning process by their type of experiences that they're having, or really what their vision is for the community in the future. Mobility is changing substantially right now, which is very exciting, and we want to hear what people in Midland want as it means for new mobility in the future. As part of this project, or as part of this event, rather, we are going to be doing a walking tour of the St. Andrews neighborhood, and so we're going to focus specifically on that walking tour on how the city is designed to be able to facilitate different types of mobility. So being able to walk and bike in a very safe and proper way, have we designed streets that are able to do that in a proper form?
Sure, okay. So if you're listening to this podcast the day it comes out, Thursday, June 17th for this month, which we hope all of you are, you will be able to do that night. So for people that are maybe not able to attend the June 17th event, will there be other events in other areas of the community in the future?
There is, yes. Yep, we are wanting to do events like this all over the city in the future at a variety of different areas. And so this will be the first one where we learn how well it goes and how we can fine-tune it for different areas of the community.
Cool.
I should also mention times, too. So if people are wanting to come out that evening after listening to this podcast, we'd encourage you to come to the Grace A. Dow Memorial Library at 5:30. From 5:30 to 6, there'll be a time to talk about the mobility in different forms and interact with different representatives that are there. And then at 6 o'clock is when we'll leave for that walking tour, coming back and wrapping it all up by 7. The walking tour itself is just under a mile, about 0.7 miles of a route.
Cool. That's awesome. So I will put all of this information available for the June 17th event and the master plan process in general at our podcast website, which is cityofmidlandmi.gov/corridors. Thanks. So that sounds like it's going to be fun. And I have some fun activities planned for us on this podcast today. Mm-hmm. Today's episode, we're going to play a little game. So it's kind of like Mythbusters, if you're familiar with that TV show from, what, the 2000s, 90s, and 2000s?
Oh, absolutely.
But I am calling it Fact or Fiction Roadway Edition, because you know we love rhyming around here. So I have a series of statements. I provided Grant some with you as well that are related to road use, mobility, driving habits, all kinds of fun stuff related to things on this podcast. So we're going to read the statement, and then we're going to talk about whether it's fact or fiction. Are you down for this?
I am so ready.
All right, here we go. So let's take a look at our first one that we've got here. And a lot of these have come from, you know, comment sections on social media that the city's seen over the years. Even things just as a driver, I know the planning department hears a lot of these. The police department, I did get MPD involved on a couple of these because they hear a lot of these similar complaints or questions a lot too. So hopefully we're all going to learn something today.
Yeah, you make a really good point, Katie, because I think a lot of this that we have talked about and the ones that we want to go through, they do relate back to that public input that we've received already. So we're listening and we're wanting to make sure that there's clarity out there with some concerns that seem to be reoccurring. So I am ready. Let's do this.
All right, here we go. Okay, so the first one. Fact or fiction, bicycles don't have to follow the same traffic laws that vehicles do.
Oh boy. So that is definitely fiction. Bicyclists do have to follow all traffic laws that vehicles do. They cannot run stop signs or lights, ride erratically, or do anything else that drivers cannot do.
Okay, so I am going to ask a question. What about drinking and riding? So we hear about drunk driving in cars, and obviously that is unsafe and illegal. Mm-hmm. Are you allowed to ride a bike on the street in public when you're drunk?
So riding a bike while drunk is also unsafe and illegal.
Okay.
Yep, so it's important to recognize that you can receive criminal charges for doing that.
Okay. So what do we do if we see a bicyclist, say, running a red light?
Mm-hmm. So it would be the same type of thing as you see a motor vehicle or a vehicle doing a traffic violation. You can call 911 and report that.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now it's your turn, Katie.
Okay.
Fact or fiction, vehicles are required to yield to a pedestrian waiting to cross the street.
Yes. Okay. I know the answer to this one. And the reason why I know this is because I had this discussion with residents a lot when we first re-implemented the all-way stop control in downtown Midland and took the traffic control devices out after we did the streetscape renovation in 2017. And the answer is that that is a fact. Vehicles are required to yield to pedestrians that are waiting across the street. So if a motorist approaches an intersection or a crosswalk and they stop, they need to stop, there's a stop sign there, there's a traffic control device, and there are pedestrians waiting to cross, the right-of-way falls to the pedestrian, and that could be also be a bicyclist or any other non-motorized transportation that's waiting. And the driver is required to allow the pedestrian to cross before they go out into the intersection themselves.
Yep. Nope, that's very true. And obviously, this doesn't apply if a pedestrian is waiting to cross at an intersection where the motorist is not required to stop. So you don't have to stop in traffic to let someone cross the road if you don't have to stop your vehicle.
Yes, please don't do that.
Correct. Yeah, that would be unsafe for motorists, for right. Sure. All right. So I have another one, too, for you.
Okay.
And this one is a tough one that a lot of people get wrong, but that's all right. Fact or fiction, bicyclists should be ridden on sidewalks, not streets, unless there is a bike lane.
Okay, I feel like this one's not true. I think you're allowed to ride bikes on the street, even if there's a bike lane, as long as, like we said earlier, you follow all traffic laws.
Mm-hmm. You are correct.
All right.
Yep. Bicyclists can be ridden on streets or sidewalks based on the comfort of level of the bike rider.
Okay.
And so, like you said, they must still follow all traffic laws, but it makes no difference if there is a bike lane or not on the street.
Okay.
You can still ride a bike on a roadway.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. And with that being said, there are some rules regarding how bicyclists should operate on a sidewalk. And that comes out of section 660C1. We won't have tons of references like this, so the legal jargon will be limited.
Right.
But it is important to point out that this comes from the Michigan Motor Vehicle Code. And that actually states that bike riders riding on a sidewalk or a pedestrian crosswalk should yield the right of way to pedestrians and should give an audible signal before overtaking or passing a pedestrian.
Okay.
And what we mean by audible signal is that can be anything from ringing a bell. A bike bell is pretty popular on the rail trail,
yep.
for instance.
Yep.
Or verbally telling the person you're passing behind them. And that verbal warning, we always encourage people to do it friendly. Say, hey, you know, I'm coming up on your left or coming up on your right, and or hello. That type of greeting is very important in order to have that communication, especially if you're coming up from someone from their behind
yep.
and they can't see you.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. You heard it here first. The Michigan Vehicle Code allows bicycles on the roadway. I know there is so much confusion about that, especially when people start to see more bike lanes being put out onto streets. They think, okay, there's a bike lane there. Therefore, if there's not a bike lane on another street, that means that the bikes are not allowed to be there. And that is so important. We've said that so many times. Streets are for people, not just for cars. And so bikes have just as much right to be there per our own state vehicle code as automobiles do.
Yep, that's a good point. And equally so, bikes have as much way to be on the sidewalk as pedestrians do.
Yep.
But pedestrians do get the right of way.
Yes.
So if you are riding your bike, just because you're going faster or there's more of you, doesn't mean you have to force that pedestrian off. You should get off your bike, dismount, and go into the grass or ride it onto the street for that particular piece of the area. But pedestrians are more vulnerable, mm-hmm. and therefore yep. they are given the right of way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. If you've ever seen any of those signs that have the yield sign and there's a little, you know, cars and then bikes and then people, and I think we've got them maybe out on the city forest trails. Mm-hmm. There's even a horse on there.
Yes.
There's really just kind of like, depending on vulnerability, like you said, mm-hmm. like you yield to the more vulnerable of the mode of transportation. Yep. And ultimately, this is what we've said on this podcast, on social media all along. You know, we all need to make sure we're equitably and fairly sharing our infrastructure because it belongs to all of us. Yep. So yep. if you're doing it courteously and following the traffic laws, then hopefully there shouldn't be any issues.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So now that we've covered that, let's take one from the list that deals with other types of shared mobility, and that's electric scooters. So here's your question, Grant. Electric scooters cannot be ridden on roadways.
Well, if you've been on the streets of Midland in the past few months, since Good Friday this year, actually, mm-hmm. You know that that's fiction.
Yep.
Electric scooters are permitted for use on streets by the Michigan Vehicle Code. So the riders have equal rights to be on the roadway as any other transportation, including cars.
Yep, yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So e-scooters, like the Boot.
We are just... I know. We're on one today. It's Friday.
Sure.
Excited about talking about scooters.
It's true, yep. But Bird, rather, the Bird e-scooters, for example, they are permitted on city streets. They're permitted on bike lanes and on pathways, although locally we do not allow anything motorized on the Pier Marquette Rail Trail as well as the Chippewa Trail.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So they cannot be ridden there, and they shouldn't be ridden on sidewalks when you start or end a ride or need to do so to navigate the road or path that you're on.
Okay. So is there any type of exception to that? Because mm-hmm. I know there are some roads like Eastman, Saginaw, pretty heavily trafficked roadways yep. that have higher than residential street speed limits.
Yep.
What are the exceptions for that?
So there is a maximum speed limit where e-scooters, like the Bird scooters, cannot be ridden. And that's anything with a speed limit over 35 miles per hour.
Okay.
So if a road is 35 miles per hour or less, they can ride on the street.
Okay.
And we do encourage them to do so. However, there are times where that's simply just not safe. Places like South Saginaw Road or other parts of the city where the speed limit may be Indian and Buttles, for example, mm-hmm. Would not be an appropriate place for e-scooters to be on the road, simply at just which the pace of traffic moves in that particular area and the dangers that that poses to the rider. So okay. there are exceptions to that, and in that case you can ride on the sidewalks, but it's very similar to bikes where you do have to dismount and you do have to provide the right of way to pedestrians.
Yes, and make sure that when you're using those scooters as well that you are, again, announcing yourself if you are overtaking a pedestrian.
Absolutely.
Make sure that they know that you're there, because mm-hmm. if you think a bike is quick on a sidewalk, you know, those e-scooters will definitely hurt somebody if you're not being careful. So
yes.
You know, please make sure that everyone is sharing the infrastructure that we have equitably.
Absolutely.
So if you want to check out the rules of the road, kind of like what we just talked about for e-scooters, and kind of a more broad tip sheet for how to use and park and share the road with other modes of transportation on e-scooters here in Midland, or if you're a driver and you want to know, you know, how I can best share the road with these other methods of transportation, we really encourage you to go over to our website. We have a specific page dedicated to it called cityofmidlandmi.gov/sharedmobility. You'll find all that information there, and then all the references in the Michigan Vehicle Code that allow these different modes of transportation to be used. So let's take it back and focus again on the automobile for the next couple of questions. Okay, this one throws it way back to the road diet trial study that we conducted a couple of years ago, specific to the Buttles Corridor. Traffic delays are calculated by counting the number of cars in line at a red stoplight.
Hmm. So contrary to popular belief and some of the things that we've seen just in comments on social media, or their mm-hmm. comments back to the city, this one is fiction. A traffic delay is actually calculated by watching a single vehicle stopped at a traffic light in the area that you're studying, mm-hmm. so on that road.
Okay.
And you follow that vehicle from red light to green light and see if that car makes it through the intersection you're observing in a single light cycle. So as soon as that light turns green, are every single car that's queued behind that light able to go through by the time it goes to yellow and then to red?
Okay.
That is how we calculate a delay. If it does not go through, then that would be considered a traffic delay.
Okay.
And you count the amount of time it takes until the car makes it through the intersection. So let's say the last car in the queue doesn't make it through, and now they have another 30 or 60 second delay that they have to sit and wait. That's the delay that then you start to count and classify as a specific traffic delay. Okay. So a traffic delay, though, is also not saying, well, it used to take me 35 seconds to go through this corridor. Now it's going to take me 45 or possibly even more seconds, and therefore I'm being delayed. That is where sort of the difference between the technical definition and maybe people's experience lies. Yes, there is a delay between 35 and 40 or 45 seconds, certainly, but that's not a formal traffic delay, and that's not used as part of transportation engineering.
Gotcha. Okay. And that's important to point out, because I think we need to remember that we are basing all of this experience and all of this infrastructure improvement on data-driven results. And that was one of the things that's counted is traffic delay. And we saw throughout that entire study that there were no delays that were ever found at any point, which means that every vehicle that sat at a red light throughout these different intersections in the corridor were able to clear that intersection and get on to the next one, or even through the entire corridor by the end of the light cycle.
Absolutely. Yep, that was a very important point as part of the analysis that MDOT did. And I think it's also important to recognize, too, that it takes the subjectivity out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that could usually get through at a 30 or a 25-second clip because they're speeding or they're going much faster than they should be, and they're now having to go a little bit less than that, that, you know, that's not a formal way of being able to really understand. That's an experience, and it's maybe anecdotal, but it's not the technical side, like you said, that's used as part of the data-driven analysis.
Yeah, sure. This feeling of simple inconvenience doesn't mean the road is not operating the way that it is designed to and the way it's supposed to. We've said it many times before. We covered it throughout that trial, and we've even covered it so far in the podcast. Motorists will tend to totally disregard speed limits and drive at their level of comfort. So if you're driving on a 35 mile per hour roadway that made you feel like, hey, I can go 45 through here, I can go 50 through here and feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden now it has been changed, whether that's a lane reduction, whether that's additional sidewalks, things that are put closer to the roadway, you know, you've reduced that
width
of the roadway.
Sure.
So, you know, you start to feel more discomfort as you're driving through there, and maybe you are going slower, you're going down to 35. That might be frustrating for a motorist. It's understandable when you're used to going faster, but that's actually a good thing for road safety, that you're going the speed limit, you're going slower, and you're being a lot more attentive to what's going on around you if you feel that level of discomfort. And furthermore, to kind of go on that simple inconvenience point, having more than 3 to 4 cars sitting at a single traffic light is not necessarily a sign of congestion. That delay time getting through the intersection and the light cycle is really where we see congestion, because if you have a long line of vehicles and your light cycle is not allowing all of them to get through, then maybe there's some places, and we do have places like that in the city, mm-hmm. that we are continuing to look at and say, you know, what's the source of the congestion here and how can we improve it? But having a few cars more than normal, if you will, sitting at a light is not an indication of congestion by itself.
Correct. Or that the road is functioning improperly.
Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, so speaking of speed limits and things that we were talking about, I have one for you, Katie.
Okay.
Fact or fiction.
All right.
If a Midland City street doesn't have a speed limit sign, the default speed is 25 miles an hour.
I'm going to say this one's fiction only because I feel like I've seen roads that appear to be faster than 25 and they don't have a speed limit sign on them.
Where you've seen maybe cars driving faster than 25?
Yes, I think
like
so. Like, okay. The flow of traffic seems to be a lot higher than
sure,
that.
Sure, sure. Well, it's actually a fact.
Ah!
So in Midland, the city has determined that the default speed for limit for residential roads, talking about residential roads,
mm-hmm.
And we call them local streets, are 25 miles an hour.
Okay.
If there is no speed limit sign. These are lower volume residential streets through neighborhoods typically surrounded by residences on both sides.
Okay.
And there are some generally established guidelines for speed limits statewide that are set out in Section 627 of the Michigan Vehicle Code for different types of roads.
Okay.
But Section 628 allows for local jurisdictions like the city to set their own speed parameters if it determines that there is a need for a speed limit lower than what's generally proposed.
Okay, so there are some guidelines that the state kind of sets. Mm-hmm. I know we've seen this even with this corridor, is this corridor, Buttles and Indian, the speed limit is actually set by MDOT because it is a state-owned roadway.
Right.
And there's some general guidelines through that, but we have the ability on our own streets that we own, because we obviously don't own Buttles and Indian,
mm-hmm.
But some of our residential local streets, as we call them, mm-hmm. to say, maybe this should be a lot slower than what the state says it should be.
Okay. Or simply because it's our local road and we know the context and we know exactly kind of what's in the surrounding area. That's what allows us to set that minimum.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That actually makes sense. Man, I got our first wrong answer. I don't know how I'm going to recover from this. Okay. So, here's a good one. Fact or fiction, pedestrians cannot cross a street unless it's at a signalized intersection or a designated crosswalk. What do you think?
All right. So that, I'm going to say, is fiction.
Okay, you are right.
Okay, all right. But I think the reason why there maybe is some misunderstanding as it relates to that, because there are some specific rules that do apply to this type of thing.
Yeah.
So unless there is a sign or a local restriction, pedestrians can actually cross the street directly anywhere, even if it's not at an intersection or a designated crosswalk. But they cannot impede traffic.
Okay.
So impeding of traffic is not possible. Or not permitted, rather.
Yep. You can't just be running around all willy-nilly throughout the streets, basically. Yes. And I think that's kind of where jaywalking comes into play, right?
That's exactly the term. Yep. So jaywalking is a term most people are probably familiar with. And that means to cross the street somewhere that isn't an intersection or a crosswalk, and to actually do that in a specific way that impedes traffic and has no regard for safety.
Okay. So jaywalking is not just simply you cross, like, say, mid-block. That's allowed.
Yes.
Jaywalking, no mm-hmm. as long as there's no cars, exactly. Mm-hmm. So jaywalking is more like you're, you know, just weaving in and out of traffic, or maybe like you're standing in the road just doing silliness.
Yep, exactly.
General tomfoolery, if you will, is jaywalking.
Kittywampus types of things. Yes,
all absolutely. Those words that I love so much that I think we need to bring back. But just crossing without an intersection or a crosswalk, that is permitted.
It is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good to know. Because I think a lot of people don't really understand what jaywalking is. And when they see a pedestrian or a bicyclist or anyone crossing the street, not at those intersections or crosswalks, they think, they can't be doing that.
Right.
But they can. So that's good to know.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Just don't impede traffic because it's not lawful and it's also not very smart.
Yeah.
It's very dangerous.
Absolutely not smart. This concludes part one of Fact or Fiction Roadway Edition. We'll be back again next month with part two. This has been Word on the Streets, a podcast created by the City of Midland, Michigan, and produced by the MCTV Network. For more information on this podcast or to learn more about the Buttles and Indian Corridor Improvement Project, visit cityofmidlandmi.gov/corridors.